What's the deal with this?
Deal? What are you saying?
Deal.
Deal?
I don't see what the big deal is, you know? It's not that great.
Good deal. You won't regret it.
What's the deal, son? What do you have going?
All right, look, here's the deal.
What do you say we make this deal?
The insurance sector is being affected like every other sector by technology disruption. Smartphones have created a new means of distributing insurance projects and lodging claims. The vast amounts of data generated and collected each day create opportunities for better underwriting and new products. Today on the show, I'm speaking with Sean Harper, CEO and co-founder of Kin Insurance. Kin is an insurance company that offers fast and affordable insurance for homes and other buildings in places with risky weather. I'm your host, Ryan Cox, managing partner at Founders Growth Capital, a multifamily value-add investment firm. The Real Estate Innovators is a podcast that explores innovation in commercial real estate. Celebrate the companies and innovators who are changing the business of commercial real estate and are inspiring the future of how we work, live, and play. I started off by asking Sean about his background and what elements of his background helped him to identify the opportunity with Kin.
So there are really like three things that led to Kin. The first is way back in the day, like my first job after college, I was a management consultant. I did a lot of work for insurance companies. And so that sort of gave me context for it. I knew what their problems were. And big insurance companies really have two problems. The first is their agent network, which is expensive and hard to manage. And the second is their tech, their IT is really old. It's like oftentimes 30, 40 years old. So that was one. The second experience I had was my co-founder Lucas and I both done a few pretty successful fintech companies in other spaces. So we knew what could be done. Like if you go after one of these legacy financial services industries and you rebuild it from scratch, you can really do it in a much better, more efficient way. Just because tech has gotten so much better since the systems were built, all the tools that are available and the techniques that people use. And the third thing was I just bought a house and I was like, man, this is incredibly anachronistic. Not just the insurance part, the whole thing, but the insurance for sure. It doesn't seem like it should work that way. Why is getting insurance for my home so much harder than getting a credit card? That doesn't make any sense.
It was interesting to hear how Sean's experiences in big insurance and the home buying process shaped the founding of Kin. I asked him to expound on the pain points and problems surrounding the traditional residential insurance industry.
There's way too much waste in the system. Insurance is too expensive. So for a property, especially for smaller buildings like single family homes, around 70% of the money is spent paying claims. And that's what you as the user care about. 30% of the money is spent on other stuff that you don't care about, which is actually a lot if you think about it. Like if you pay $2,000 a year for insurance, that means $650 is being spent on overhead that has nothing to do with paying the claim. There's like, you know, and for what? It's the generation of some paperwork, the processing of a payment, so running an algorithm. There's some data involved in underwriting. Maybe there's a human decision involved. That stuff shouldn't be that expensive, right? Like this is an industry that should be able to do that for dollars, not hundreds of dollars. So that's really the biggest problem is it's very inefficient. The other thing from the user perspective is it's just a pain in the butt to sign up for. You know, when you are trying to insure a building, you're barraged with all of these questions. And you may or may not know the answers to those questions. It's inconvenient. You have all these other things going on trying to close. To have to answer all these questions about a building seems kind of silly. You know, another thing from the user perspective is insurance company prices jump around a lot, which is actually really not good. And in most financial products, you have sort of a decoupling between the origination and servicing and the capital source. And that allows you, so for example, your mortgage can be traded like 100 times and you don't really care. Because you still send your bill to the same place, you still call the same people and there's a problem, it doesn't really matter. And insurance, if your insurance company changes their risk preference, which may have nothing to do with you, usually has nothing to do with you, they're going to impact you, raise your rates or cancel you. And then you have to go through the whole shopping experience again, which is really disruptive to the user. So there are a bunch of things from the user perspective that could be a lot better.
Sean and I continued to discuss some of the inefficiencies that have historically plagued the insurance industry. Specifically, we talked about the challenges presented by current standards of distribution, cost structure, and technical infrastructure.
The distribution is a problem because insurance companies have historically outsourced their customer acquisition and customer servicing to these independent insurance agents, and they don't have any control over them. And you'll see it, like some of the branches they have are really poor. Sometimes the branches are really close together. That doesn't make sense. There's one street in my town where there's like four Allstate agencies. That doesn't make any sense. You would never see four Chase banks on the same street. And at the same time, those insurance agencies, we talked about the 30% of the cost structure that's spent in overhead. Almost 20% of that goes to the agents and the overhead to manage them. So 2/3 of the real cost structure is spent on these agents that really aren't giving the insurance company often what they want. The other problem that they have is their IT. So now let's give insurance credit where credit is due. They were one of the first industries to computerize. And that's cool. Like these guys were in the 60s were like, oh, we need a computer. And they went and they got a mainframe and it kept track of everything. The problem is a lot of these insurance companies are actually still running on the same software. And so you'll find like the most talented actuary, for example, at a big insurance company, and they're pissed. They're so frustrated. They're like, oh, I had this idea 2 years ago and I wanted to do it and they couldn't implement it. It's on a list somewhere. Maybe they'll get to it, but like, I'm not going to hold my breath. Or there's this new data source that I know like would really help us evaluate the risk better, but I can't get the IT project prioritized to do it. And what you'll find is actually of that 30%, 6% is spent on IT. Yet this is IT that's sort of just enough to keep everything running. Like you don't get any improvements. It basically is just what you need to stay in business. It's duct tape and sticks. Like no one's really happy with it. It's like the first thing people will complain about if you hang out at a big insurance company. So those are really their problems. And they want to change. Like insurance companies are not dumb. They just have these two big, you know, historical legacies that make it really hard for them to adapt to the market.
After hearing about the current challenges in the residential insurance industry, I next asked Sean about Kin's value proposition, as well as how the company changes the user experience.
We don't have a value proposition to the insurance companies because we are an insurance company. We compete against them. We're built from scratch, super high-tech insurance company with really, really low costs. So I think they probably don't like us. For the user, there are a few advantages. One is we're much more accurate at pricing the risk. So that's because we use more data. So that means that for customers who are a good risk, or their home is a good risk, their building is a good risk, they're able to get insurance cheaper. The other thing is we're lower overhead. So that is another reason why you're able to get insurance cheaper. So that's a big part of our value proposition is it's cheaper. Another is that we make it easier to shop for. So unlike having to shuffle a bunch of papers back and forth and wait for quotes to come back and stuff like you need in the legacy insurance industry, you're really able to do it with us in most cases entirely online in a few clicks in the middle of the night. We also have lots of customer service available to help because like insurance is kind of complicated. So what we'll find is usually people are spanning channels. They'll go online to shop. They'll play around with a bunch of coverages. But then ultimately, they might want to talk to someone or even text them or email them and have a professional sort of check it over to make sure that they've made the right coverage selections.
Next, I asked Sean to discuss Kin's competitive landscape.
They're legacy guys. They're all the guys that are advertising during the football games. State Farm, Allstate, Travelers. We specifically offer insurance in a lot of markets where those guys don't operate. One thing that Kin does is we go after markets where the weather is really bad. So that's usually like Florida's a big state for us, like places near the ocean where hurricanes hit. And now coming up soon will be a wildfire-focused product in California. And that's a market that the big legacy insurance companies are just running away from because they don't know what to do with it and they can't react fast enough. As things are changing, the fire is getting worse. You need to be really quick or else you lose a lot of money. So that's one set of competitors. there's another set of competitors who are smaller insurance companies that are not techie at all that happen to participate in those catastrophe markets. So we compete against them. And then there are like a handful of new guys that look kind of like us that we usually don't really compete with directly. One that we think is pretty good is Lemonade. And they do really mostly renter's insurance. And so they're really not a competitor to us because they, you know, they do renters, we do homes and other buildings. And those are actually very different coverages because for a renter's policy, you're covering the stuff inside the building. And for a homeowner's insurance or a dwelling and fire insurance policy, you're actually covering the building itself. It's two totally different skill sets. The other thing is they don't do catastrophe areas, and we only do catastrophe areas. They're really the one that comes to mind. There are a couple other ones. There's one called Hippo that we think also does a good job in many aspects. But similarly, we don't really overlap with them in geography. So not really a competitor, they're more like a peer.
I asked Sean to define the biggest opportunities in the disaster insurance space.
We're entrepreneurs, and we get off on solving problems that matter to people. And so here in Illinois, where the weather is like, well, it's cold, but like we don't get a lot of disasters and stuff. Insurance isn't perfect, but it's not that bad, right? Like customers here aren't just like, oh gosh, I'm thinking about insurance all the time. But actually, if you go to California right now and you go to a party and you tell them you're in the insurance industry, everyone's got a story because the market is really troubled. And that's also true in Florida and coastal North Carolina, coastal Texas, a lot of these other places. So that's really the biggest thing is we're just trying to solve a problem that matters to people. And the second reason is that tech is actually really useful in those areas because what allows you to be successful in a disaster area is picking out the risks, is making sure you have the right price for the risk. And what's really important there is knowing all of the data about the building. And so a legacy insurance company, they basically have a 40 question questionnaire. But the reality is no one answers all those questions accurately. And in fact, if you go into the insurance agent's office, the agent is basically using they actually have default values that they send to the insurance company. So it's like they're not actually getting that 40 fields. But for us, we pull all of these different data sources, and we have thousands and thousands of fields from different objective data sources. So it allows us to be much more accurate in pricing it. And that advantage doesn't matter that much in Wisconsin. It doesn't matter that much in Illinois. It matters a lot in places like North Carolina or Texas.
Sean had mentioned the importance of data in Kin's risk assessment models. I asked him to elaborate on the company's technology and data systems.
There's some basic stuff that an insurance company does. They calculate rates. They apply underwriting rules. There's a lot of accounting and regulatory requirements. And they need to be spot on, right? Because like, you want your bill to be correct. There's a billing function. There's just all this sort of core system functionality. And the legacy insurance companies, the system they have doing that is like usually sort of cobbled together over years. And what we have is one that, you know, has the benefit of modern tech and also of being built from scratch. Like everything is always better when you build it from scratch, right? That's just true. So that's the tech at the bottom. The other cool thing that tech allows us to do is it's really flexible about integrating to other data sources. And so, for example, we use a lot of aerial and satellite imagery. And we actually use a machine learning algorithm that recognizes the image and can classify roofs, for example, or could identify there's a tree over the property, or it could actually, well, so I'll give you an interesting example. So let's take a very basic fact about a building. Square footage. Actually, you'd be really surprised at how many people don't know what the square footage is of a building. So the owner of the building might not know. The tax records will show one number. Maybe this building was on an MLS or other sort of listing site. That'll show a different number. And then you can also use aerial imagery to look at the footprint of the building and then figure out how many stories it is and actually calculate a square footage. So by being able to use all those sources, we actually have multiple sources for each of those types of data, and we can actually triangulate and know exactly what the square footage is. Because in pricing insurance, the square footage of what you're insuring is actually a really big variable, because that's what determines if the building were to be damaged, how much needs to be rebuilt, and therefore how expensive would it be to be rebuilt. So it sounds simple, square footage, but it's actually really complicated. And just getting the data to know with certainty that you have an accurate square footage, and you'll see it all the time. Like, you know, another set of companies we deal with are reinsurers. So most, for those who don't know how insurance works, most insurance companies buy some level of reinsurance. So they're actually insuring themselves against things that are sort of unexpected. And one thing that you have to do when you have reinsurers is send them data about the risks that they're reinsuring. So they want to know. The reinsurers will complain all the time about the data quality coming, and they'll double check things in certain places. And the fact is that when you go from the user to the broker to the insurance company through the insurance company's crappy IT, you know, then it gets transmitted to the reinsurer. There's a lot of data fidelity that's lost there. There's either data that isn't there that they wish was there, or there's data that's there, but they think maybe it was like fudged or lost in translation along the way somewhere. So data quality is actually a huge, huge problem in insurance. So having all of these different sources to validate it and know that you're underwriting on the right data is really important.
After hearing about some of Ken's essential components, I asked him to walk us through the company's growth story, how Ken grew from launch to its current state.
Yeah, so we've been at this for like a little bit more than 3 years. And at the beginning, it was a part-time gig. Lucas, my co-founder, and I, we'd both sold our last companies. And we were kind of like resting a little bit and also doing some consulting work just to keep the burn down, basically. And we came up with this idea. And we're super practical guys, so we didn't want to build a lot if people weren't going to use it or if it wasn't going to be useful. So the first thing that we did was try to validate this assumption that there was enough data available automatically to underwrite and price these buildings. And that was a cheap experiment to run. We raised like $700,000 from our friends and other entrepreneurs and stuff. And we're just hanging out in a conference room somewhere, like just hitting different data sources and writing some really simple software. And we did that for like 3 months. And we were like, yeah, okay. I think actually there is enough data on average that you can actually do a much better job than the old way. And so then the next question was, well, are people going to buy it? And there were a lot of naysayers. There were a lot of people out there who were like, no, like people will never buy this. They like have their agent and like, they don't want to do things online and stuff. So we figured the cheapest way to run that experiment would actually be to wrap a little bit of that tech around an insurance agency. And so we actually went out and bought like a little mom and pop insurance agency. And we did what we could for like 6 months, basically wrapping tech around that and making it much, much more efficient and running some marketing experiments. And so what we learned at the end of that was actually like people really did want to buy stuff online, even though the product wasn't exactly what we wanted it to do. Then we were ready to run a little bit of a more expensive experiment, and we raised a $3 million round, and we actually started building the insurance company. But starting an insurance company, this is one reason why insurance is so backward. It's so expensive to get into this business. It's like to be an insurance company is really hard. So the next step we took was actually we were like a virtual insurance company where we ran all the software, we did all the work, we defined the pricing algorithms and underwriting, and we rented an insurance license from somebody else, from another insurance company. So we did that for about a year. And then just recently, like this summer, we raised a bunch more money, went through the hoops to get regulatory approval. It took a long time. It was hard. And we became an insurance company ourselves. And for that, we needed a lot. So we went from like $800,000 to $3 million to $12 million. And the most recent round is $50 million. And it's just not easy to start an insurance company, unfortunately.
Next, I asked Sean specifically about customer acquisition and how Ken is growing their customer base.
Yeah, so we have like 15,000 customers now since we started the insurance company, and we switched from the old model to the new model, virtual insurance to being an actual company in September. We've been growing about 10% a week.
Turning our conversation to the future, Sean and I discussed what success looks like for Ken over the next 12 to 18 months.
We want to about triple the number of customers that we have in the next 12 months. You know, that'll take us from being sort of like a micro insurance company to a small insurance company. And that's really what it's about. You know, we're shipping additional products. We're going into additional states, and we're really just getting, you know, what we have now is basically working. We're just trying to get more and more people using it.
Next, Sean and I discussed what trends he foresees in the property insurance industry.
I think insurance is going to get cheaper. You know, as there are new firms like ours who are coming and thinking about things in a different way, we're actually able to deliver the product a lot cheaper. Insurance will be a lot easier to shop for. You know, you will no longer have this lag. You will be able to basically get a price for your insurance needs in a couple seconds online. I think the claims experience will change quite a bit. When something bad does happen to your building, the way that claim is adjusted is very manual. It's very slow. It's a big problem. Like actually, you know, there was a hurricane 2 years ago in Florida, Hurricane Irma. There's still hundreds of thousands of people that haven't had their claims settled from Hurricane Irma. That's a storm that was 2 years ago. That isn't good. There's a huge role for technology to play in adjusting the claim faster. You know, the aerial imagery, estimating the cost of rebuilding something, actually organizing the repair. You know, repairing a building is complicated. And if you're able to, you know, be more organized to make sure the right stuff is there at the right time, you can actually do it a lot faster and give the user a much better experience and save a bunch of money too. You know, I think one thing that's not a good thing that the insurance industry is going to have to grapple with is that the weather is getting worse. Like in California, 3 years in a row, we've had what they would have called a 200-year fire event. Well, that's 3 years in a row. That's not an anomalous event anymore. That's just the weather. And it's happening, well, probably because of global warming. And the insurance industry is going to have to adapt very quickly because the losses are just growing and growing every year.
Sean had emphasized the need to adapt to worsening disasters. I asked him how Ken plans to tackle the problem that these rapid changes are presenting. Specifically, I asked him how Ken plans to price risk, since pricing is usually based on historical data, and that data may not reflect how year-over-year events, like a new 200-year storm, occurs.
Well, you really have to have a model that takes into account, you know, both how things have worked historically and what's changed. So like the way that the weather models work, and we're a huge consumer of weather models, it's actually a stochastic model. And so what they'll do in the case of a hurricane, for example, is they'll say, you know, 50 years ago, there was this storm, and this is the temperature of the ocean at the time, and this is what the wind shear was like. What if we varied the temperature of the ocean, you know, 100 ways in this way and 100 ways in this way? And they'll come up with all of these different scenarios. And then you can actually add trends into that too. You can say, well, the ocean is 2 degrees warmer now than it used to be. You can come up with a really accurate simulation of how that storm would have performed in this environment, you know, and also throw a bunch of randomness in there because you want to see not just what that storm would have been like, but what a similar storm that was slightly different would have looked like. So you can actually get really sophisticated with the weather modeling. You know, you just have to try and adjust for it.
To conclude my conversation with Sean, I asked him if there were any important points about Kin or the digital insurance industry, which he felt the listening audience should know that we haven't covered yet.
I think that people look at digital insurance and what they see is like the flashy UX. And they're like, oh, it was easier to sign up for, it's easier to get a quote. And what they don't necessarily see is all the cool stuff that's going on with data in the back end to make the insurance more efficient. So I think of insurance innovation in really three waves. The first wave is let's do the same things that insurance companies have been doing for 100 years, but we'll just do them more efficiently using tech. And there's a huge upside there, right? Because we talked about that 30% that's basically wasted. It really should be a lot lower than that. The second wave is let's start using new variables because there's so much data being manufactured all around us, right? Like the world is awash in data. Some of that data should be predictive of things. We can use that to be more granular with pricing. Make sure the good risks are priced lower and the bad risks are priced higher. And then the third is actually maybe the most exciting thing, but it's a little ways off and it really depends on those first two. And that's insurance companies getting involved in helping users make their homes and other buildings more resilient. There's a huge role to be played in avoiding bad things from happening, not just paying you back when it does. You know, for example, in our line in property insurance, about 40% of the losses are due to preventable water damage. But you could have a sensor or something that would actually identify you when there's a leak or notify you when there's a leak. That would maybe prevent some of those losses from happening. That's just one example. You know, it sounds crazy, but like 5 years from now, maybe we'll have firefighting robots. We have robot vacuum cleaners now, right? A robot fire extinguisher isn't that crazy. And in fact, they have them on ships, like naval ships often do have firefighting robots. So it could happen.
Great to connect with Sean Harper of Kin Insurance today. Founded in 2016 by seasoned financial technology entrepreneurs, Kin is a fully licensed home insurance technology company that provides affordable coverage to homeowners in catastrophe-prone regions like Florida and California. And that concludes our show. I'm excited to follow Sean and Kin as they provide in-demand solutions in the residential insurance industry. You can find out more about Sean and Kin in the show notes. Please subscribe to the Real Estate Innovators and write a review wherever you subscribe to podcasts, which helps us grow our audience. Find out more about the Real Estate Innovators at therealestateinnovators.com. Until next time, innovators,